Welcome to the Tread Lightly podcast. Whether you're a new listener or a returning listener, we're happy to be with you today. I am co-host and running coach Laura of Laura Norris Running.
And I'm your co-host and running coach Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish. So a reminder in case you're new, we do still have the discount code available for Virtual Run Club. So if you feel like you would benefit from just having access to some coaches to ask questions, getting access to some strength training plans, some runner nutrition, and all of that kind of good stuff, the code TREADLIGHTLY will give you $50 off of the 1 year access. So that is access to people who can really answer your questions. And I feel like that alone is worth the price for most of you.
Oh, that's totally, like, that's a steal for the value that you're getting there. Because as we'll be talking about in the main body of this episode, sometimes there's reasons to just need to talk to a coach, even if you're following your own training plan, such as reasons not to run a marathon, which will be our main topic today.
Yes, but we do have a reader question, and I actually really love this one. It's directed at you, so I'm going to let you kind of take it from here because you will have a great answer on this.
Yeah, so this is from @KristenC_vacations, and she wrote in, I hear Laura reference quite often that she suffers from GI issues and is sensitive to a lot of fructose. As a runner with IBS that flares up a lot during training season and an intolerance to gluten and egg, I would love to hear some recommendations for those of us who suffer all the tummy troubles for some nutrition and fuel to trial. I've started looking for low FODMAP gels to try this season after listening to an episode and realizing that my gel was almost all fructose, LOL. Yes. So this is something that derailed even my most recent race, was GI issues. I didn't even like race it fully. I backed off at mile 6 because of that. And it's frustrating. I understand that a lot. I empathize a lot. So I'll share a bit of like what works for me, but it's important to caveat that with GI issues, like everyone is very different in these sensitivities. But things that have worked really well for me in the past are not doing gels. Gels are amazing. They're a great sport nutrition product, but many of them are formulated with a decent ratio of fructose, especially the new ones like Morden, Cisbeta, Never Second have like a 1 to 0.8 ratio of glucose to fructose. And that works really well for some people. For those of us with IBS, IBD, it might be a tipping point, especially if you're taking a ton of those gels in a marathon. Some fuel that has worked that might be worth trying. I found that like the Honey Stinger waffles work really well for lower intensity runs. Even I've done them even up to a half marathon, like broken them into little pieces and taken those. That was what I did for my half marathon PR, and I didn't have any issues, GI issues during that. Liquid nutrition works really well. So right now I'm experimenting with the Scratch Super High Carb, which is a cluster maltodextrin. I don't think there's a lot of fructose in it, and you can like adjust the concentration of it. So right now I'm trying the half concentration 4 scoops. The only downside is when you do that, it lowers your sodium. So you have to make sure you're getting your sodium somewhere else. That was probably my mistake I made in the half marathon, was on long runs I would have the Scratch with the sodium and then the Scratch Super High Carb. And I took just the Super High Carb at this most recent half and I didn't get enough sodium. The Scratch Lab Chews or Honey Stinger Chews have historically worked super well for me. Those again are formulated with a bunch of different sources and don't have as much fructose. The one thing I would avoid for this person is don't try dried fruit. Stay away from dried fruit. That also has a lot of fructose. And there are some people who are like, oh, it's great, but you don't want to be stuffing a bunch of raisins into your GI tract when running hard with these issues.
Yeah, dried pineapple works for me, but I don't have those GI issues. So I think you recommended some great products for anyone who feels like they've struggled a little bit with just their fueling, but also definitely go back, listen to our episode where we talk about fueling, because you may not... In this case, she absolutely has a specific GI issue. But if you're the person who just says consistently, it bothers me when I fuel, so I just don't do it, there may just be some trial and error. There may be some process of building up that needs to happen too.
Yeah. Oh, and realizing this listener mentioned they're gluten-free, the Honey Stinger gluten-free waffles, I think, are actually better than the gluten ones. Like, that's what I used, was the gluten-free, because they don't crumble. And again, it's like removing a sensitive spot. I'm not gluten intolerant. I've been tested. But, and then I think, like, it's managing stress in training also. Like, for those of us with IBS or IBD, like, it's not just what you eat. It's the stress levels your body's going through. Sometimes things like your menstrual cycle will flare it up like crazy, especially if there's more stress. So you have to be really careful about your training load stress. And there's times where you might have to back off your workouts, or, you know, think, is it intensity or mileage that stresses out my body more? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I getting enough downtime? Because training sometimes can be that tipping point on top of a high stress load that can stress you out even more and flare up your IBS. So sometimes you need to, like, be a little conservative on things if your body starts giving those signs. And to, like, segue into our episode, like, sometimes that's even a sign to, like, if your stress is too high, to not train for a marathon, regardless of what sort of GI issues are going on in the background.
100%. And I think, thank you, Laura, for being open and sharing these things, because I do think people sometimes feel like it's just me. I'm the only one dealing with this. And so it's great to sort of have that real world experience. And y'all, keep your questions coming. We'll do our best to keep answering them. And if there's some that are a little longer that we need to turn into an episode, we'll do that too. So, like she said, one of our reasons not to run a marathon has to do with your current life stress. And I think sometimes we look at it as just work stress. So, oh, how many hours am I working? But it really is about your total life stress. So, are you also helping out with a parent? Do you have little children right now, so you're not sleeping through the night and that's creating stress? It's important too that just because you see other folks who seem to be juggling all the things, they're working, they have a family, they're still training for their super fast marathon PR, doesn't mean that that's what's going to truly apply to you. You don't know what kind of help maybe they have, so to get through those things, you don't know how many years they've been training, so what their body is currently used to. And it may just be a moment where you thinking about training even feels stressful. So it's just not the moment to do it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, like, I've been in that situation where I probably shouldn't have done a marathon, but I did it with, like, huge stress, like finishing grad school and a high workload going on. And, like, it catches up with you. So, like, you'll be in the early weeks and you'll think, oh, this is totally fine. But by race day, it has caught up to you. Or you might even see these people who get through it just fine, but it catches up to them later in some capacity. Like, they'll be so burnt out, they don't want to keep running or something like that. And it can be a really hard call to make. But what I always, like, remind runners is there are other distances to race, and there will be other times in life to do the marathon. It's not this litmus test for whether or not you're a real runner.
Yes. I feel like that is always my number one thing when I hear people say something like, oh, but I have to run a marathon, because they feel like other people are looking down at them for not having done one or judging them for not having done one. And what I will say is other runners don't care. Other runners are just excited that you run and they can talk to you about running. It tends to be people who maybe are not runners, so they just don't know as much about running. So they will ask, have you run a marathon? Have you run Boston? Because that's the best they can do for making conversation besides saying, I will only run if I'm being chased. So it's good to just sort of know that, like, other runners don't care. We're excited that you're out there and that you enjoy something that we enjoy.
Exactly. Like, it's not something you have to do to be a runner. Like, if you never did a marathon, never even wanted to, that's okay, because ultimately you want to like running. You want to enjoy your training. And if it sounds miserable to you from the start, don't push yourself through it.
Yes, it becomes extremely hard to stick to your schedule, extremely hard to show up for a 20-mile long run when you're not enjoying it. And, you know, this is not weeks of your life. This is months of your life. So I think, yes, to me, it's sort of, I would like you to be in a good headspace about running before you do it. One of the other things I do often say is that to me, it's ideal for you to have been running for at least a year. And that frustrates a lot of people, but here's why I say that. It is less about your cardiovascular ability, because that can actually progress fairly rapidly. But we have seen time and time again that your ligaments, your joints, your tendons, they take more time to adapt. And so your risk for injury seems to go up pretty significantly if you don't really have a solid base under you. And also, I think that having done it for a year gives you a better chance of having built some of the fitness, some of the mental toughness that you're going to need to be out there for hours as opposed to minutes.
Yeah, oh, totally. And doing a year running, you see what your running looks like through all seasons of the year. Like, I feel like that's something underrated. Like, you don't want to do your first marathon training for fall when you haven't even ever run in summer. Like, it's almost like getting married. Like, you wouldn't marry someone you haven't been through a few big life events and holidays with. Don't train through a marathon if you don't know yet what it feels like to run in summer or in winter or rain or snow.
Yeah. Do you think there's like a certain mileage people should be at before they start thinking marathon?
Yeah. So ideally, like in a perfect situation, I would love someone to have done like a 10-mile long run, at least, maybe even a half marathon, knowing that the ideals aren't always reality. Like, I want people to be able to at least run 6 miles. And I feel even like weird saying that, because 6 miles isn't a lot. So I would say really closer to having done a double digit long run on your own. What about you?
I have a couch to marathon plan on the website, which is about 20 weeks. And I think I say multiple times in that article, I don't know that I particularly recommend doing this, but if you're going to, this is the best possible way to build. So like we're saying here, it is 100% possible to go from couch to marathon in a much shorter time than a year. But we're trying to think about your body long term and what's most ideal to ensure that you're not injured, you don't hate it, and you're willing to do another one someday.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you want to keep running after this marathon, ideally, not break your body down or really just hate it. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for just taking your time to build up to the marathon distance. I mean, I ran for like 7 years before I did my first marathon.
Yep. I think I had been doing half marathons for at least 4 years before I did my first marathon. I mean, I, like many, also swore I would never run a marathon when I did it. So that happens too.
Oh yeah. Things always change. All right. And then, so another reason though, not to run a marathon is not being able to eat properly to support this training. And so there's two sides to this coin. There are athletes who are dealing with amenorrhea or disordered eating or eating disorders. But then there are also athletes who might have a perfectly healthy relationship with food, but they want to lose weight, and losing weight is their main goal. A marathon is not a weight loss approach by any stretch, especially if you want your training to feel good and your race to go well.
Yeah, unfortunately, it tends to do the opposite for a lot of folks. It's not uncommon for some folks to gain a little bit of weight during marathon training, and that often, more than anything, tends to be inflammation. But when you're training for that first marathon, it is really easy to suddenly overeat because you're doing more than you've ever done before. and you have this just mental, like, reward yourself idea, and people around you also start saying things like, well, you run all the time, you can eat this. And so it is easy to overeat a little bit. But I think the bigger issue becomes if you are not gaining weight because you're super focused on everything that you're eating, you're often under fueling. And I just had this conversation in my inbox today with someone asking me about sugar and the downsides of sugar and fueling. And it's really looking at food differently. So there is, would I eat 26 grams of sugar all day long? No, from a health standpoint. But during my run, my body is using that differently. And so, yeah, if you're kind of at that place where your goal is weight loss, I'd rather you focus on that first and then come in ready to be like, I'm going to fuel like an athlete.
And it takes like practice, I think, to fuel in marathon training, because you'll have loss of appetite after long runs, and then all of a sudden hunger hits you raging the next day, and you have to learn how to eat after those long runs doing that. It's just difficult. If weight loss is the goal, you can run, but you should probably be also like lifting and doing things that you might not do as much in marathon training. You don't want to put your body in a huge deficit. And then if disordered eating or eating disorder is something you're struggling with, like, now is not the time to physically stress your body more. Assess why you want to do a marathon if you're in that situation, and then seek professional help, whether it's like a therapist or a registered dietitian. You want your body to be in a healthy place where you have a healthy relationship with food before you start undertaking something so physically and mentally demanding on your body.
Which I think goes into sort of another idea of maybe now is not the right time to train for and run a marathon if you're coming back from an injury or dealing with some health issues. And again, that's going to be a little bit person independent, but the pressure I often see to bounce back from an injury, like an actual knee surgery or things like that, can try to force you to sort of truncate a timeline. And I will say, after I had knee surgery, while I got back to running within, you know, 3 or 4 months, the actual like getting back to what I was before surgery for me was well over a year, like into 2 years, because there's so much more there happening. And I had like some little baby races where I sort of said to myself, I'm not trying to beat my past time. I just want to see how things feel right now. So those were half marathons to kind of slowly come back. And I think if you put that marathon on the plate, it can feel like so much pressure. So just being very realistic with yourself again about, I want to come back from this feeling strong and not be re-injured again or slowing down the actual recovery process.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, it's so much better to recover yourself fully. And you mentioned like health issues also. Like, I've seen several athletes, and I go through myself, like times of like getting a diagnosis, figuring out what medications work for you, dealing with medication side effects. And that sometimes is a time where maybe even if you started marathon training, you're just like, this is not the time. Like, I need to figure out how to run with the side effects of my medications. Like, not even run a marathon, but just how to run. Or I need to figure out what's going on with my body and not also be trying to thinking about PRing a marathon at the same time. I think that's one that people are like, oh, I'll figure out my medications along the way. But those take a toll on your body, and some of them have pretty severe side effects on like nausea, or like one I tried once for my IBS, like cause thirst and dehydration on runs. And like, I know some antidepressants do that also. I've seen that with athletes. So it's okay to be like, I am putting my health first for this season or two. And maybe you'll do, you know, 5Ks, 10Ks or halves, but just figure out your health first.
Yes. And I know Laura and I have both coached people with autoimmune diseases. And so it's one thing to have that stuff sort of like figured out and know that flare-ups are possible and be training and adjust your training then. And another thing to be, yeah, at the beginning of it and there's just a lot more moving pieces. And I think initially, especially with a lot of autoimmune stuff, it feels a little bit overwhelming and a little bit scary about what's possible. And so just giving yourself that little bit of break, again, going back to total life stress, to bring that down a little so that you can just kind of figure out what's going to feel good. And then once you're into it, you can deal with the flare-ups and kind of figure out how those work.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. So then totally different than that are the people who are probably like, well, I'm super healthy. I don't have a ton of stress. So I'm just going to run marathon cycle after cycle, 3-4 a year. Especially now, people always seem to be doing back-to-back marathons. And this is a point where I would say we don't want to do marathon cycles indefinitely for maybe more than like 2 or 3 cycles at a time. You want to train for something different, maybe even like a 5K or 10K, because I think you leave behind a lot of fitness when you only train for marathon after marathon after marathon.
I fully agree. I think it's a mistake that a lot of us can fall into. Because you had that race that either went great, so you think, awesome, I want to do it again, or the race that didn't go great, so now I need that redemption race. But without focusing on some of the other stuff, you are maybe not giving yourself the best chance to find that PR because you're not working on some of that shorter speed, or you're not giving your body an actual break in between all of that long mileage and buildup. And I think there's a mental release, like a little mental valve that also gets shut off when you're like, oh, I'm focusing on a half right now. So it just feels different immediately than thinking about running 26.2. And again, this is where social media can be a problem, because we will see people just pounding out marathon after marathon. And sometimes what I see there is that they are people who genetically are faster without training. And I have seen them say things like, oh, a Boston qualifying time isn't that hard, which is just not accurate for the majority of runners. So if they're saying something like that, there is some genetic thing going on there as well that is helping them to bounce back. The other thing I will say is I often see them need a month off for an injury and then bounce right back in. So for me personally, I would just rather be able to run consistently and not be injured, because I am a mental mess when I am injured. So yeah, if you've been doing a lot of back-to-back cycles, I'd really like take a second and sort of say, like, am I truly enjoying this? Why do I feel like the marathon is maybe the only thing I'm focused on? What would happen if I spent a season focusing on like short, fast speed and then did a marathon again? And just kind of ask yourself some questions around it, I think.
Yeah, I really agree with that, because a lot of times what happens if you take that break from the marathon and build some speed is you come back and you finally hit that marathon PR or goal or BQ that you were chasing on a merry-go-round of trying to get it, missing, so diving right back into marathon training again and again. Like, I have coached so many athletes to breakthroughs in the marathon by not doing a marathon for 6 months or only doing one a year, because like at the end of the day, your speed still matters. Like, your top end speed or your 5K speed still affects your marathon pace.
So true. And I think this leads into our other one, which we've talked a little about, but that's if you're currently having signs of overtraining. So we did a full episode on overtraining, but sort of quick overview, if you're currently noticing that you're struggling with sleep, whether you can't go to sleep or you can't stay asleep, you're having issues with extreme fatigue, things like that, that is your body trying to say like, hey, I need you to press pause here for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And that's where you probably want to really back off training seriously. But I do think some of those people in the repeated marathon go around almost normalize overtraining symptoms, where they're like, oh, it's normal to be grumpy and have low libido and not have an appetite. Like, that's normal because that's how I always feel.
Yeah, I do think that's true. When you've been doing marathon training for a long time, it is very easy to normalize things. Also, when you've been doing things like incorrectly, not fueling well and other things, you normalize that, yeah, it just feels bad. I don't feel great, but there are plenty of runners feeling just fine. So looking at kind of maybe what's causing that.
And then this one is probably like an unpopular opinion, but I would say like, don't train for a marathon if you're less than 9 months postpartum. I remember like for this past year with Boston, they had like a mom who had just had her baby and she was pushing it in a stroller around the track with like the car seat on the stroller. And it was like, look at her go, look at her jump right back into a marathon. But pregnancy is stressful on the body. Postpartum is stressful on the body. You're not sleeping. You might be nursing. You're taking care of an infant. You might have like postpartum anxiety, postpartum mood disorders. It's just a whole lot going on. And then you have this relaxin making all your joints and ligaments loose for like 6 months. So your injury risk is high. I don't want to like bash moms who do that at all. And that's not what I'm doing. But I'm saying for a lot of people, marathons can come once your body's recovered from the 9 months of pregnancy, from however you delivered. And once your baby gets to a point where maybe you're not like you're sleeping better or you're not nursing as much. And I know that's hard, but there's something really important about recovering at that time, building back your mileage base, doing rehab, getting strong again, and then focusing on speed first.
And I super respect that position. I think really and truly what you've all probably seen from us over the last 40 plus episodes is that our goal is to keep you running for a lifetime. And while we get really excited about your PRs, we're more excited about you being a healthy human who feels good in your day-to-day life, finds joy in your run, and can, yeah, keep chasing things. So maybe we take a conservative approach to some things, but that will always probably kind of be the position I come from with things like this.
Oh, yeah. Like I 100% do a conservative approach. And that's why we base things off of what we see with athletes and stuff. Because like if I just was like, oh, how was I postpartum? Like I bounced back quick from a C-section and could have done a marathon if like the pandemic hadn't hit. I didn't want to. But like we're really trying to look at like what does the evidence say and how is this affecting a majority of runners, not just the genetically lucky few you see on social media.
100%. And I think that is, again, where like I love social media for the community, and I've mentioned it a few times, but it is just always knowing that what you're seeing is in of one, as I like to say. So it's an experiment of one. It's what's working for that particular person, their life, their body, etc. And just remembering that you aren't them in a million different ways. And so it may not be a comparable thing to look at.
Oh, yeah. And people share their highlight reels. No one's going to get on social media and be like, I had pelvic prolapse after my baby for trying to run a marathon. You want to hear all about that? People share their successes more loudly. So it kind of has like survivor bias, or I feel like that's not the right term, but some sort of selection bias on social media also.
Yes, I totally, totally think that's true. Anything else you want to leave folks with in terms of, you know, reasons we may be saying against the norm that you shouldn't run a marathon at the moment?
Yeah, I would say like, even if you're registered for a big city one that doesn't allow you to defer and the thought just hits you like a few weeks out that you're like, I don't want to do this, you don't have to do it. Like I've had athletes just all of a sudden be like, I don't want to travel across the country or across the world to run a marathon. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, that's great. Let's not do that then. And it's okay to back out close to a marathon if your heart just isn't in it. What about you?
I love that. Honestly, right after I did Chicago in 2021, where it was so hot, and so I in no way had the race I planned, I was like, okay, I'm going to get redemption. I'm going to do CIM. I signed up. I started booking hotels. And I got a couple weeks into retraining for that, and I just realized I didn't want to do it again. I wasn't there. Like, I didn't want to run 26.2 miles again, and so I pulled the plug on it. But it's very easy to convince yourself that you have to do it, but you don't. And I do. I think that in itself is the number of folks I have seen where even if they've been midway through training and they've just been like, I'm not enjoying this, and they decided not to, the relief, or life happened and they've been missing a bunch of runs and they are like, okay, what if we just did the half marathon? And it takes a little while to accept it, but then immediately they're like, I feel so much better. I know I can do the half. Like, I know I can do that. And yeah, I think that's huge.
So as always, we love to hear from you. So please write to us at Tread Lightly Running on Instagram. Send any of your questions, any of your feedback. We always enjoy hearing from you.
Absolutely. It has been so great to see your reviews and to know what's working and even occasionally what we need to work on. So we will keep doing our best to improve things for you and make sure that you send it to a friend, help someone else out, and keep Tread Lightly growing.